Let's do this!
A swing and a belt. Left field. Way back. Blue Jays win it.
Oh, God. Down the sideline. Wow. Touchdown.
Unbelievable.
Trying to finish it.
It's over. It's
up. Here's a chance. That goal. Shot rebound.
Fucking stickler for the details.
That's me, man.
Yeah.
I know my shit.
I read my shit. No, Talk and Sports.
I know it. Oh. I lived it.
Didn't know it a minute ago.
Well, but I just read.
And now I know it.
Well, because I'm going by Reddit. I'm going by what your simple ass was saying.
It's down in Kempville somewhere.
Yeah. You're going east, not south.
This is Talk and Sports. Welcome, yes. Good listener.
To the good Christmas cheer, sir.
Give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram. We're at TalkAnAudio, Facebook.com/TalkAnAudio. And by all means, make sure you leave a rating and a review for the show. Maybe later, after we've actually given you something.
Yeah, although treat it like Uber Eats and give me your tip up front.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. What's happening, man?
Just loving life, you know. Although I... The season has been thrust upon me.
Oh, it's here.
It was nice and rainy and a little damp and cool yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Woke up to more snow than I fully anticipated. So, you know, I'm a stickler for a clean laneway.
Yep. How the fuck?
Driveway?
Yeah.
Really? What? You got an issue with that?
Yeah. Do you have a Chesterfield?
Yep.
A credenza?
I do. Yeah. An ottoman. A fine ottoman. Yeah, you're not one of those stupid people who say, okay.
Now I have to say no matter what comes next.
How come you drive on a parkway, but you park on a driveway? I don't get it. Oh, that seems to be the avenue you're going down.
I just didn't. Laneway. I don't.
What are we on here?
I don't hear
Simple
a lot.
Simple Twat Boulevard.
Yeah. Should have been the name of the website.
All right. I'm fine. How about you, Matt? How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Doing all right.
How was your shoveling your driveway today?
It was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty easy.
Yeah, I know.
That's condo living, man.
Condo living.
Maintenance fees mean you just get to stand there and somebody maintain this.
Yeah. Look at this. It's disgusting. Oh, wait. I haven't left my own condo yet.
No. It's true, man. So we are firing up, what is it, day 15 of the Need a Craft Holiday Beer Calendar. We are, I don't know. We've had a few interesting ones here over the last little while. Let's start with the 13th, because you were way higher on it than I was.
I was loving it, man. Loving it.
9%.
Yes, it was Brother Ian's Christmas cheer.
I did not cheer.
Man,
you,
so this was a beer that you can drink at, you know, as you do, crack the can, put it under your helmet.
Right.
Or it suggests that if you feel differently, maybe you're feeling a little sassier.
Mm.
Put it in a saucepan. Gently heat it with a little sugar and some cinnamon sticks. And it comes like
something
sort of
to alter the flavor. I get that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, no. You were having a problem with the cinnamon flavor, I think, were you
yeah,
not?
That's what I'm saying. So adding something else and heating it up
more
together.
Cinnamon. More cinnamon, apparently,
is not the thing
you're looking to do.
That's not.
I loved it. At 9%, it didn't taste like 9%.
Yeah.
I got more of the orange. It was sort of, it talked about, you know, cloves and cinnamon and a little orange.
Right.
So I was getting more of the orange than I was of the cinnamon. But yeah, you came back without me telling you anything about it and you cracked it and you're like, yeah, I'm getting like this hardcore cinnamon flavor.
Yeah.
And so to me, that's like cinnamon heart kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was not getting that in any way. But this was, so Brother Ian's Christmas Cheer, strong. It's a Belgian.
Yes.
Out of five paddles from Whitby. So to me.
Fucking Whitby.
Yeah.
Dropping the ball all over the place.
Yeah. The other half of the drunken duo that is Oshawa Whitby.
The better half, really.
No, they were saying it was Ajax and whatever else comes after that. They're like, yeah, Oshawa Whitby, dirty. More drunks per capita. in Canada.
All right.
Hey, that's what the Uber driver was telling me.
Oh, well, if an Uber driver says it, it must be true. Well, he's two stars, motherfucker.
He's seen it. Well, I gave him five.
I bet you did.
I thought he was great. What up, Peterborough? Yeah.
The 14th, we had a West Coast IPA, Remick Rapids.
Remick Rapids, which is here in the West End.
That was Kitchissippi.
Which is here in the West End of Ottawa.
Right.
Gentle Rapids. Great looking can.
It was. I go in for a good looking can.
Oh, you know where I stand on that. But yeah, West Coast IPA.
Yeah.
About 6%. I liked it.
I liked it too, although...
to a certain extent.
I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. To be fair, I already had several other things under my helmet, and I did not provide, you know, a palate cleanser first before, you know, it just became part of the parade
it was,
of beers.
Exactly. That was going under my festive
right.
wig.
No secret to longtime listeners on this show, I'm just not a big IPA guy.
You changing that at all?
Not really. Not really.
Okay, because I think the advent calendar now, 14 days in, and we're here on day 15.
There's always a lot of IPAs.
It's hoppy,
yeah.
Right? There's been a lot of hoppy stuff.
That's right. That's right. I didn't mind it. I didn't love it, didn't hate it. That's what I'm going to get from an IPA, right? As a West Coast.
It may have been the best thing at a Kitchissippi that I've ever had.
Ooh, all right.
No, I'm not loving it. I think they're the hell or high water. I think that's Kitchissippi.
Sure.
Okay.
Could be.
All right. I'm just going to drop that right where it is.
Yep.
But
go ahead, man. We're just going to trample over each other. I'm going to let you take it.
I'm going to wait for you to start up again. Then I'm going to. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So today we're heading east, Matt. East down the 417.
Okay. But we're still in Ontario.
We're getting off at the VARS exit and heading south to beautiful Embrum.
Embrum. Welcome to Embrum.
Yeah. Or like I said,
yeah.
Embrum. It's Embrum. Took the brew. And there's
beer hat, I believe is what that means.
That's not a woolen cap. It's a fucking toque.
Yes.
Yes. This is their St. Nicholas coffee porter. Now, that's why I'm looking at it. Cafe porter. Like, is a cafe like I'm sitting on a crappy metal chair on a sidewalk kind of cafe? Oh, wait. No, it's
looking at you, Bridgehead.
Yeah. It's French for coffee.
Yeah.
The coffee porter. Have you had a swig of that yet?
I just did. Don't care for this.
Oh, but you were singing the praises of the brew from last year.
We'll post it online because I'm going to have to go back and look. Whatever this brewery put in the calendar last year was maybe my favorite thing that I had out of it through the whole month.
So what are you not digging about this?
It doesn't taste like coffee at all. No, I'm not a coffee guy, but like this is not what I expect out of a coffee porter.
Okay, well, I got a news flash for you.
Oh, good.
Anybody who drinks coffee and you smell the brewing of the coffee and you're like, smells gorgeous, and you drink and you go, tastes like dirt.
Yeah.
Like a strong black coffee,
yeah.
Quite often it does not taste like it smells.
This does not taste like any other coffee stout, coffee porter I've ever had. This has more like almost a bitter, I don't know what I'm getting out of it, but I'm not enjoying it.
See, I think you need to take another pull on that.
I've just taken here we go,
come
man.
On, have another go at it because I find it to be very mellow. I'm not getting much of anything from
it. It's almost like a fruit or something. At the end, the aftertaste, the end of it is...
all right.
Now, they can't all be winners, man. I've been largely happy with the calendar. Well, like I said, I enjoyed whatever these guys threw in the calendar last year. This isn't my thing.
See, and I think, good listener, you're now left with... I would order this. I would have no problem having a couple of these.
Okay.
To me, it's easy drinking. I'm not getting anything overpowering in terms of flavor.
It's not overpowering.
Now you know what? I made a doll last week.
Here we go.
With some, honestly, with some...
Special holes.
No. Yes. No, D-A-A-L.
Oh, okay.
So
Rob was out in Santa's workshop.
I've got some new curry from my Sri Lankan coworker. So it's got a bit of zing to it. And I'm not sure now with my pursuit of spicy food and eating a bunch of it has dulled my taste buds, but I'm not getting a pile off of this.
This is objectively bad to me.
Wow.
I don't want to finish it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
No, good listener.
How many times have I balked at any stout or porter on this show?
Never. I don't imagine.
I
can't imagine. I'm not sure if you're... Are you drinking it out of the can?
I really am.
Uh-huh, see?
I just told you I'm all about a good can.
I know, but booty chugging is something completely different.
Got to get that in. Yeah, let's just...
All right. I find it to be a very easy drinking and not offensive in any way.
And that's what you get out of this show, folks. Never offended. But really what you get is opinions. He's got one. I got one. Make your choice.
So 65% correct over here, 35% over there.
Yeah.
That's how this show really shakes out.
Okay. Question from Lauren in Moncton.
Hey, Lauren. Lauren a guy or Lauren a girl?
L-A-U-R-E-N. I'm thinking it's a girl.
L-A-U. I'm thinking it's a girl.
I can't believe there's a girl listening.
I have no problems believing there's a girl listening.
Yeah. Lauren wants to know. I've been in a relationship with my boyfriend for 2 months. What is an acceptable idea for a Christmas gift in terms of not scaring him off with something too serious, but not cheaping out?
Size 3 baby clothes.
Oh, boy.
That's where you need to go, Lauren, right there. A little bonnet, maybe some booties. Back to the booties. Maybe a little child carrier. One of those things.
He's gone, Lauren.
Yeah, for sure. He's booked it. Now,
can I just say it again? Before Lauren signed out, go Bruins.
Well, she's living out there in bumblefuck nowhere.
First thing I would say is, if you want to do something good for this guy, let him go. Let him find a real woman who appreciates a real team.
Oh, sorry about that, Lauren. And really, if you get him the baby clothes...
Don't do it, Lauren.
It's you see what his reaction is. Maybe he's whole hog on that.
Could you do it with some wordplay? Like, we're going to have some baby brewing. No? It's no good?
No.
Just swinging at it, man.
You know what it is? And I'm kidding on the...
Yeah.
I'm kidding on the baby clothes.
2 months in is a rough time, man. You're not serious yet, but you could be.
I think 2 months, go with beer.
And so that was sort of the conversation that we had going on Twitter, was the two suggestions that I responded with there were maybe a hat from my favorite team, not the fucking Bruins, six-pack of craft beers if he's into such things. But the indication being, just show me at that point in the relationship, don't break the bank, like nothing there, but show me you've been listening to something that I'm interested in, right? As we've been getting to know each other.
Getting to know you.
You know, he's into craft beers. Here's a couple different craft beers to try. That's a thoughtful gift.
If he's a beer guy.
Right, but that's it. It could be anything like that, but just something that indicates you've been paying attention when he's been talking about his passions or
interests. A pack of Export Green?
It is Moncton, man.
Kidding. Love Moncton. Spent some great time there in 98, maybe.
Probably the same place 21 years later.
Yeah. So what could have changed? Possibly more gas stations and more trees. That's it. Right. Hello, New Brunswick. But yeah, Matt is, and I'm not sure if I'm going to break any news here. Matt is the more sensitive of the two of us. And so
thoughtful, some people would call that.
Yeah. And I don't disagree with him unless I'm motivated.
Right.
If I'm motivated, I could be quite thoughtful and quite sensitive. Motivated.
What about something like an event on New Year's? The conversation that we had going on Twitter was no tickets to something 6 months from now, right?
Because I don't know where you're going
to
be.
You're speaking very long term in that point. But there's something fun going on at whatever on New Year's Eve we could go to together.
Yeah. And you know what? And so I don't know how old you are, Lauren.
No.
And it doesn't really matter. But I think what it comes down to is quite often an experience is quite often a better gift than a gift that may miss the mark.
Yeah.
Right? Doing something. And what you're talking about is fantastic, right? Because it's right around the corner.
Yeah.
New Year's. an early January, you know, or a concert.
Sure.
Something, right?
Yeah.
If you're more highbrow than us, a show, live theater.
Sure. Moncton is full of great live
Of course
theater.
It is, right? So to me, I would go with the gift of an experience.
Yeah.
And there's no hidden meaning behind that. I'm straight up talking, doing something. I don't know. Yeah.
The gift that says, I'd like to spend some more time with you, great gift, right? Says all the things you want to say without saying, I want that to be locked in now for 6 months
from
now.
Especially to a guy who maybe doesn't know how to, you know, handle his own feelings and and potentially can't say that to you because...
We're drawing a lot of conclusions on Lauren's...
No, just on guys. Okay. Sorry, Lauren, it's got nothing to do with you in this case. It's got more to do with guys, right, who now...
But that's a nice ego stroke. I'd like to see you again.
Or more.
Sure.
Or in a different environment or something outside of our normal environment.
Right.
Right?
Dark and shady fucking...
Or a subway, wherever it is. I have no idea, right? But to me, something different. Something out of the normal and an experience. That's where I'm putting my money.
Thanks for listening, Lauren.
Yes.
Hope it goes well.
Thanks for the feedback as well.
Yeah.
And thanks for being a girl and listening.
Yeah. Heavy minority, man. Heavy minority.
Well, I wonder why that is.
The Blue Jays come back from the winter meetings with a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
Heavy.
33 years old. Or
on the mediocrity. 500 over the last about two seasons or so. Now, there's been some debate. To me, that name looks like Tanner Roark, but an awful lot of people want to be really trying to French it up, Dirt Boy, with the Tanner Roark is what a lot of people are really...
It's more of a Louisiana kind of a Roark.
That's about all they got done at the winter meetings. We're not going to spend a ton of time on the Jays here in mid-December.
They're wrapping it up like it was fantastic.
Yeah, we were in on everybody. We lost on everybody is really what you should draw forward on that. Is that a... Like, it sounds like they had to overpay to get him to come. We sort of talked about that a week ago, that in Toronto, in the AL East, that's probably what you have to do. Is that a positive move, or is it just more of the same?
It's a heavy meh kind of a thing, right? In terms of with all of the bigger fish that were out there.
Garrett Cole. What, $36 million a year?
Yeah, and I sent you an email that went unreplied to.
Wow.
But yeah.
I was talking to Lauren.
Not only did they pay him crazy cash.
The Yankees
they
signed paid Garrett Cole 9 years, $36 million.
Crazy term.
Yeah.
Right? And so to me, they're gonna love that contract for 3 years maybe.
Yeah.
And then they're going to hate it. Like it's
unless
to me.
He opts out.
Yeah. Okay. After 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Probably not.
If someone's going to pay me 36 schmil per for 9 years, I'm not opting out of anything.
It's somebody, as they always do, sits down and did the math on this.
Right
it's,
down to the at bat, yeah, the pitches.
It was like $18,000 a pitch.
Yeah. Oh, if you had a consistent 36 starts.
Yeah.
Yeah. A million a start.
Yeah.
Like a million a start. So right away you're like, ah, man.
One day with the shits and you're pissing away $1 million.
But not.
No, I'm still getting it. Yeah, fair enough. But
yeah,
the Yankees are.
And you're like, that's crazy. Over $1 million per start.
The Blue Jays have now essentially locked up a 3-4 or a 4-5 on a good team with Anderson now and Roark. I just, they're still in on, and we've been arguing about how we're going to pronounce this name.
Roark.
Yeah. You know. Ryu or whatever.
Young Jin Ryu.
Yeah. Who seems to be a guy that has a higher ceiling than some of the other guys still left out there.
Older
but
again.
More likely to spend time on the DL, which I guess we're not calling it anymore, the IL.
IL. Because disabled is just...
Yeah, it's rough, man.
People just get their hackles up.
Well, there's a couple other names still out there floating around from the Angels and the Dodgers that have a slightly lower ceiling, but are more likely to meet that start every 5 days.
But see, Ryu is injured right now.
Yes.
And so I think they would, if they were able to sign him, and he was either in the top three in Cy Young voting.
Yeah. No, he's a quality pitcher. If they could get that done, I would be, that would mean something to me. But right now, all you've done is fish a 3 and a 4 starter.
Strikes me as getting R.A. Dickey, though, at that age. Because I think
that's an interesting...
I think Ryu was also in his 30s.
Yep.
Injured, and yeah.
Now, we are very hard on what R.A. Dickey did with the Blue Jays. He ate a lot of innings. He was no longer...
A 500 pitcher.
Yeah, but he was no longer a Cy Young knuckleballer, obviously, but... He ate a lot of innings. Like he was
better
than... How's that
Syndergaard guy doing? Yeah, well, he seems to be...
That's fair. What do you think of where they're at right now?
I think the idea that you're going to float bringing back Edwin Encarnacion or you're going to try to bring in Smokey back as a big signing. Yeah. Like, hey, look at this.
Yeah.
Are you kidding?
Look over here.
Yeah. Encarnacion's done. And Smoke is good. Smoke's fine, but you don't need him taking up more space at first, I don't think. No,
especially when you could be looking to get Vladdy over there pretty soon.
Sooner, please, rather than later, because the less I see that guy's giant keister hitting the dirt as he tries to make plays at third, no, man, please, don't do it. So I'm underwhelmed. Yeah. I'm as underwhelmed as I was a week ago when we talked about what they were, as you said, swinging at, waving at.
Does Ryu change that for you if they were to get him?
If they were to get him, to me, I would be. It would certainly raise the temperature a bit. Okay. I do have some reservations, as I've just stated.
Sure.
And I'm not sure he's a guy at his age where when they want to compete in a couple of years, that he's still a quality top end rotation kind of guy.
Right.
So. Yeah, it would be one of those things where you go, okay, that's a name.
Yep.
Right? But it's also, to me, it's a name that's, if not checkered yet, soon to be. In terms of how much can I depend on this starter moving forward? And when we get good.
Right.
Like.
And when you're in the AL East and you start to fall apart, you fall apart hard. People take you apart in a hurry in the bandboxes across the division. Well,
see, bandbox is the word when you talk about Cole, just doubling back to that.
Yeah.
We'll see what he's like in...
Oh, I agree.
Pitching in the smallest stadium in in baseball, right?
Right.
That is Yankee Stadium. And so, it's a tough division. If you start to lose your shit a bit, right, the teams in the AL East are unforgiving.
Speaking of teams who have lost their shit a little bit, the Ottawa Senators may have found a bit of a diamond in the rough, as there's been a ton of talk, especially over the last couple of weeks, and probably rightfully so, about Anthony Duclair, who has bounced around quite a bit, drafted by the Rangers, sent back to the World Juniors. That was the Max Domi, Connor McDavid, I think Sam Reinhart was on that team.
Curtis Lazar.
That's, heaven forbid we forget that guy. ends up being dealt from New York to Arizona, goes from Arizona to Columbus, and then Columbus to Ottawa. On bad teams, which the Senators are, somebody has to score.
Three points behind the Leafs.
Who may also be a bad team. somebody has to score. I always think about Nicholas Hagman with the Toronto Maple Leafs, who's just killing it for us, but somebody's going to fucking get whatever. Look, I'm interested to see, because this guy was highly touted when he was drafted. It bounced around. It looked like he wasn't going to, you know, it didn't work out in a few different places. But I wonder how much is him being put in a good situation now, being leaned on a little bit, being allowed to play, being allowed to be himself, or how much of it is just, you know, we need somebody to go and do it. And
yeah, see, a little from column A and a little from column B. See, the first thing you need to look at, Pierre Dorion, who's always getting shit on, and justifiably so in certain instances. You look at...
This is a bad port.
You look at how we got the Duke. How we got the Duke.
Yep.
So we traded Ryan Dzingel to Columbus for Duclair and 2 seconds.
I thought it was not Abramov in there. No, that was Duchesne.
That was Duchesne.
Sorry,
man. That was Abramov and a first.
Yeah. Okay.
For Duchesne.
Right.
And another first had Duchesne signed.
Right.
At this point, I'm liking the Duke deal better. We had a second last year, right? Which we turned into.
Which part? Where did Davidson come from? Is he the Duchesne deal as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And so, yeah, the Duke in 2 seconds, like that second this year is going to be like the 35th or 36th pick.
Yes. Yep.
And you got Duclair who's got sitting at 18 goals right now.
Right.
I think what happens with him, and it was interesting because the game yesterday, or on Saturday afternoon, was the early afternoon game. And yeah. So we got the, I don't know, the G unit for Hockey Night in Canada. But it was the ringside guy was Arash Madani.
Okay.
Whose face is ever expanding. Love you, Arash. Good Ottawa guy. But he asked some good questions in terms of that, you know, the first intermission interview, you just trotted a bunch of questions.
To who?
It was the Duke.
Okay.
And so Duclair was on with him, and he said to him, because Duclair referenced, you know, I had a couple tough years,
mm-hmm.
right? And Arash said, okay, you've referenced a couple tough years. What has happened in those years? Like, what do you attribute? What caused those?
Right.
Which is a good, the follow-up question, a little more probing that
yep.
quite often in a first intermission interview.
Yeah, you already showed up with your three questions that suck. The better interview is listen to his first answer and hit something from that. Don't be pre-programmed.
Yeah. And so what he said was, yeah, I think as a young player, I wasn't prepared for some stuff.
Right.
Right? Then you get flipped and you sort of get the label of being lazy,
mm-hmm.
not working hard. And he said, and each time I went to a new situation, I'm learning a new system and I'm learning a new coaching staff and it snowballs
yeah.
on me, right? And so he's saying, I came here last year, I got lots of ice time, right? They needed scorers after yep. everyone got yeah. shipped out. So I got a ton of ice time like I did in my first year in Arizona when I scored 20 goals.
Yeah.
And he's saying then with a new coaching staff this year, Capuano has come to DJ Smith and said, I love his speed.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get him killing penalties. And he said, I haven't killed penalties since midget.
Right.
And he's saying, so now I'm playing this, I'm playing up high in the penalty kill where they want me to press the shooter at the point, to take chances with my speed. And he's like, it's a whole new world for me. He said, I have coaches. And we know what it's like dealing with athletes, right? You want to be believed in. You
right.
want to have somebody put you in different situations where you can grow and have success. And
right.
and he had some immediate success, and you just see how he blooms, right?
Yeah.
And so it's been awesome, and the fans love him. Now I'm wary, right? You sign this guy to 4 years, five years.
There's a lot of that going around in Ottawa, right? Pageot.
Well, see, to me right now, we look at what was a good PR signing with White last year.
Yes.
Man, right now he's a bit of a momentum killer on offense. And that's a guy who's making almost $5 million for the next 6 years. And at this point, he needs to pick it up.
I'm trading Pageot just based on age, based on
I'm trading Pageot. Well, we talked about a bunch of things, right? What is the return on him? But also, what is he signing for? Because
yes.
when you get good, he's going to still be a third line center.
Yep.
Right? Wherever he goes now.
And you can find those guys.
Like the Bruins.
If you don't already
have. Or the Avalanche.
Yep.
Whoever you're going to send him to,
yep.
if you're going to trade him, he's going to be a third line center.
Right.
Killer penalty. He's great on the PK.
Yep.
Really good with the faceoffs.
Yeah. My thoughts on trading him aren't based on him, like, I got to get him out of here.
No. Not at all.
No.
Not at all. But he is, to me, with a good season, he's at 17 or 18 goals too. 17
yeah.
now because
yeah.
Duclair's in the lead. you're pricing yourself out
yep.
of your actual slot.
Well, friend of the show, Ian Mendez, tweeted out late last week that Pageot and Duclair were one of only three or four duos in the entire league that had a center and a winger 15 goals each. And you're talking about, you know, Draisaitl and McDavid. You're talking about Bergeron and Pasternak. You're talking about, like, the elite of the elite. And then here's
McKinnon and Rantanen or whatever it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, Pageot and Duclair.
That is your working man's cold cut sub, right? In comparison to those filet mignons we've already traveled out there.
Right.
So to me, the Duke is, yeah, he's easily going to get 30 goals this year.
It looks like it.
And he just, you watch
he's
him.
He's at 18.
He's at 18 right now. Yeah,
30 games into the season.
Yeah, 33.
Get that done.
And so, if you look at his effect, a Connor Brown, your boy, Downtown Brown.
Yep.
Scored a nice goal the other night. And he scored it, but it was completely on Duclair. Duclair, with his speed, gets in on top of the D, pushes them back, creates that nice open space in the, in that second layer.
Yeah.
And there's Brown, again, with some good speed following up, and he's all alone, right? And that is evidence of, yeah, Duclair's good speed and what that does when used properly, getting in on the forecheck. So I've loved a lot of what he's doing, but he, again, is another issue of what do you do with him now, right, in terms of contract status, because I'm not committing long-term to that guy.
Right.
You got to bridge that guy in or something.
I agree with that. Let's show me for another 2 years.
Yep.
Something like that.
Give him the Hoffman treatment. He went 3 years with saying, yeah, show me again. I'm not sure. He had to go with 2 25-goal seasons before they committed to him for 5 years.
You see, it was just like last week that Hoffman and Carlson played for the first time, you know, since being dealt, just with divisions and injuries and the way it's all shaking.
Well, and Hoffman's,
bit of a shoving match.
And Hoffman said, yeah, he finally played against me.
Yeah.
Like, and so.
He's been ducking me.
Yeah. Well, that's what he said. Yeah. And he did say, yeah, I challenged him. Yeah. And the first shift of the game we were on together, I skated around the ice and I'm challenging him.
Right.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Let's go. And Carlson said to him, I'm not fighting you.
I don't go.
Yeah. Well, because Hoffman, neither one of those guys.
No. But
Hoffman is dummy and Carlson, right?
Yeah, for sure. He's a guy. But it's not a heavyweight kind
of tell. Well, and Brendan Bell, they were talking about it on the Sens pregame show.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I get it, right? Hoffman has all these problems. He's like, but he's like, Hoffman should go easy on the post-game bravado, he said, because his gloves do not come off very easily either, right? And so you're like, hey, simmer down over there, tough guy.
I hesitate to bring this up just because it could go down at any moment, but I think it's worth talking about. Over the last couple of days, the New Jersey Devils have twice scratched Taylor Hall, which would indicate, you know, they've tried to play it off as precautionary reasons, and precaution against what, we're not sure. Clearly an investment being destroyed.
Exactly.
The talk seems to be, at least out of Friedman and Chris Johnston on headlines on Hockey Night, it's probably Arizona that is the leader right now in terms of likely to get him. For a long time, it was kind of presumed, maybe more on just fit than anything actually being there, that maybe Colorado would be the team. They are in as well, but it sounds like Arizona is the front runner. That's a pure rental, right? If they can get him, he's not going to stay there.
According to Johnson and Friedman on Saturday night on the Hot Stove or on the issues, headlines, they were saying,
we got issues.
Yeah, they were saying that, that New Jersey is not allowing anybody to talk extension.
Okay. Yeah.
So whatever it is. So
Arizona's got to get in.
I would say, why would you do that if you're New Jersey? Right? Because it
does limit your return.
For sure. It limits your return. And so what do you care ultimately? You're not signing them.
Yeah.
If you can talk extension and it can sweeten the return, why would you not? Now, they were saying also that.
I wonder if that's not, you know, Taylor Hall's already told.
Arizona?
I'm going to free. Well, told even New Jersey, I'm going to free agency.
Yeah. Well, and I'm only going by what they said.
Sure. Yeah.
They were saying that Barrett Hayton is not involved, and I can't remember the other potential blue chipper.
Right.
But that, it appears that the haggling and sticking point is Kevin Ball, Ottawa 67,
right,
defenseman who's been at least temporarily selected to go over.
Yep.
For Canada,
we'll
the World Juniors.
World Juniors here in a minute, yeah.
So that is the sticking point. But the other thing is that they've had to scratch him, and it's left New Jersey in an awkward spot, or it's left Arizona in an awkward spot even more, I guess, because, New Jersey is trying to shop that offer.
Yes, against other offers.
Against other offers, saying, hey, can you sweeten this? What do you got here?
Here's what they're giving us.
This is what do you got?
Yeah.
What can you do?
Yeah.
Right now, again, if you're not going to let him talk extension.
Yep.
Well, if you're going to flip this piece because your season's done, right?
Yeah.
You know, ruining my fourth place in the division prediction, screw you. Then
it's been ruined for a while.
Yeah. I blame you, Mackenzie Blackwood, right there.
Had high hopes for Mackenzie.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? We're going to slide sideways here, but
sure.
The other piece of that is how mediocre Mediocre at best, PK Subban's been. Right?
And another 2 years at $9 million. Well, this is what you got.
And who would have thought that at this point, what, 3-4 years into the trade, that Weber would be the better defenseman at this point? And I think I said 3 years ago or 4 years, whenever it happened, on this podcast, yeah, I think Weber is going to be great for Montreal for a couple of years, 2 years maybe, and Subban's still going to be great in Nashville, right? And really all that's happened is Subban looks like he's skating in muddy boots.
Yes.
Right? Like for a guy who was a fantastic skater, powerful stride.
Well, I think he's got Lindsey Vonn taking his legs every night.
Women weaken legs, man, right there. That's the thing. So, yeah.
I think you're right. You absolutely said that. I think people thought Shea Weber would be fine for Montreal for a while. It's just the sheer length of that contract that's just terrible, right? And
but dude's got 12 goals already, yeah, or whatever
sure.
it is.
But I think that goes to like 2024 or something stupid. Like,
well, they'll trade him to somewhere else and
back to Arizona.
Like I think Brizgalov is still getting paid by the Flyers, right? I think he's paid for another like 4 years,
right?
So whatever, buy him out, let it go.
Yeah, I wonder how long you can do this to Taylor Hall before
you can't scratch him for a third game.
Right. But at some point, the PA is going to get involved and go trade him or play him, right? Like, this is no good. And that.
Well, if I'm New Jersey, I'm saying I'm paying him.
Well, yeah. There's something to that.
It's not like the guy's not getting paid.
A healthy scratch. I'll find a reasonable way to justify it.
Hey, PA, screw you. I don't like his 2-goal performance. How about that?
Right.
I'm scratching him on performance alone.
Well, I think he's up to 6, isn't he?
Okay, sorry. Former MVP. Ooh.
Do you think it's just shitty situation and he knows he's getting dealt and he's given up, or is there real issues there?
You mean real issues like he's a malcontent?
No, real issues like he doesn't have it anymore.
Like, no.
If he gets refreshed and regenerated and happy to be somewhere, he can he can turn it back on.
He's gonna go back to his 30-goal, 5-assist game like he had like he had in Edmonton. Right? That to me is what you're gonna get. And so, and again, you know what? Here we are Monday morning, and I'm thinking, screw you, Edmonton. Uh-oh. Right? I sent a tweet out to our good Western correspondent saying, move over, make room on the Oilers bandwagon. For one night, I'm on. Oilers Leafs, let's do this.
You hear the Freddie chants raining down at the end of that game.
Well, good for you guys. I love to see that. I love to see the blue horde out there, too. And it's not just us thick with shame because it shows up here all the time.
That's right. We're everywhere, man.
But yeah, it was that sound where, when they scored, you go, hey, man, there's a pile of Leaf fans there.
Someone forgot to hit the horn. Oh, it's the road team.
Yeah, this is it. So, yeah. Well, you know what? Freddie, with his 7 straight starts or whatever it is.
9 of 10.
See you in April, my man.
Well, yeah.
Let's see how that goes.
I'm with you, but we can't worry about April till we secure April. So.
Oh, I get it. They leapfrogged the Habs, I think, last night. I think they're now into third in the division.
Yeah.
But to me, you're a scuffle away from being
out of it.
We're right out of it again.
Tampa's but 1 point behind us.
Yeah, but
got Buffalo on Tuesday. I know you keep saying Tampa keeps losing, but
They lost again on Saturday night.
I'm still waiting, man. I'm still thinking it's gonna come.
I'm getting ready to flip Kucherov in the pool, man. Coop. I'm going to trade that guy right out.
Nice. Let's talk.
I think he's banged up slightly. I don't have him in that pool, but the other one.
Okay. You referenced a few minutes ago Barrett Hayden. You also referenced Kevin Ball.
That's what I do, man. I bring up shit.
Yeah. Team Canada has their preliminary roster. There's at least one forward to be cut. And possibly a defenseman, although less and less likely that they're going to get Noah Dobson from the Islanders. They've suffered some injuries on their back end, and just the development plan that the Isles seem to have doesn't appear to allow that. Also, Kirby Dach is not going to be coming back from the Blackhawks.
Well, the developmental plan that they have in the Island is the Lou in his USA hockey pajamas is not willing to let Noah Dobson go for Team Canada.
But surprise, surprise, out of nowhere, the Coyotes do loan Barrett Hayden, who did play for Canada last year as the third line center, a former Sioux Greyhound, I believe, back to Team Canada. They were not banking on having him. Now, that is a guy you could slot in at number one center. You could move him down and ask him to be a little more defensively responsible somewhere else. He could move to the wing. It was a really interesting development that not many people were talking about. And it opens up a few possibilities. So that does mean another forward is going to be let go after the two pre-tournament games in Austria on the 19th and 23rd, maybe 21st, I can't remember. They're over in Austria right now for a pre-tournament kind of training camp. And then, you know, like I said, they've got these games against Switzerland and whoever else. So
Latvia.
Were you surprised by the Barrett Hayden news? I think we all kind of were. But does it change your perspective on this team at all?
It's a great addition for what's going to be a young team.
Yeah.
Right? That you can bring in a guy who is solid and is flexible and is, you know, multidimensional, right, in terms of what he brings. And he'll wear the C.
I assume.
Right? They'll bring him back in and you put him on a line with Lafreniere or whatever. To me, that's an awesome. If you can have that sort of older player, younger player kind of thing.
We've seen returnees, NHL guys, really struggle. You referenced Curtis Lazar earlier. Brett Connolly is the one who always stands out to me. Came back from Tampa, wasn't able to really. It's like you're kind of being asked in the NHL as one of these kids sometimes to do a different job, right? They're trying to teach you to be defensive. They're trying to. And it's great that you come back with this experience, but sometimes you're not able to become the guy who dominates his age group again. Quite now, there's just as many examples of guys who do. But I wonder, you know, cards on the table. I don't know Barrett Hayden that well. An Arizona Coyote draft pick out of Sault Ste. Marie. I really haven't worried much about.
Well, I remember when they drafted him, I remember thinking, that's a reach, man. It strikes me as a reach.
I just wonder, you know, it's certainly a good addition to the team. It adds some depth that it's another returnee. You always like that. I just wonder, because he hasn't exactly put up numbers in his rookie year in Arizona.
He hasn't been given a pile of games.
No, he hasn't.
Like, he's sort of been.
That's right.
I think he's.
What's a reasonable expectation of that guy? Like, I almost wonder if you're not better off putting him on the third line and allowing him to use, you know, his experience now against bigger bodies and whatever in almost more of a checking defensive kind of thing, rather than asking him to turn it back on offensively like you'd want him to.
Well, I think you're good with that, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't either.
Right? I don't think Arizona's loaning him back to
check.
To check. Yeah, I think they're sending him back to get the development that comes from the 19-year-old pressure cooker that is a world junior.
Right.
And on a young team, right? I think you're going to see him play for sure top two lines. And you're going to expect offense from him.
We will have our Christmas Eve World Junior show, as we always do. So stick around for that. But I do want to get, you know, just based on some of the cuts, Perfetti does not make it. But they did keep some young guys, some draft-eligible guys. There was no question Lafreniere was going to make it. But Byfield sticks around. And on defense, it's Jamie Drysdale, who slick skating. Like, guys love the upside on this guy, but he's a young defenseman. It's almost harder sometimes. But for defenders, I mean. But I wonder if there's been a shift in, you know, how you view this, how you set this up for Hockey Canada. They love to lean on 19-year-olds, whereas other countries, because they don't have the depth, they'll just take the best guy. They don't worry about how old he was. And and when you look at last year, was it Lindell last year for the Finns along with Kaapo Kakko? It wasn't that they chose to go young. It's just that their young guys were better than anything else around.
Well, and they went through a phase where their guys, Kotkaniemi being one, right, were in the NHL.
Right.
And they went through that with their greatest generation, you know, with Line A and Aho and whatever else. Those guys made the NHL early. And so
Puljärvi.
When you have a young or a small pool to choose from.
Right. You just take the best guy.
You don't have that option, right? And you go, sorry, man, the rest of the 19-year-olds aren't that great, but
a 17-year-old
and that 17-year-old look pretty good.
Yeah. Well, 17-year-old Jamie Drysdale in Canada has to beat out a 19-year-old who's probably not as good as him, but is a little more steady, is a little more trustworthy.
Well, right? What do you think of the cutting of Newhook, right? Which they talk about the NCAA bias, right? That
I'm not sure that it's not a thing. Like, we've seen, it's hard.
JBD. Jacob Bernard Docker.
No, I'm not saying they never make it.
Right.
But it seems to be harder. Remember 2 years ago, one of the goalies had black pads. I remember thinking they were really slick. 2 years ago in Buffalo, I believe.
I don't like them, man.
Was an NCAA goalie. You never see that on Team Canada. You never see that. Backing up Carter Hart, I believe.
Okay, I don't remember. I don't recall.
Okay, fair enough. But it's interesting, right? It, you know.
See, Perfetti, if you want to double back, sorry, away from the
small
NCAA. Yeah, well, and he's really young, right? He's
yep.
He's quite a bit younger in terms of he'll have another crack at it.
Oh, he will.
And I think a lot of those guys, and they were talking to Kevin Ball, who was cut last year.
Not small.
Yeah, not small at all. But also with Bernard Docker, right, who got cut late last year.
Right.
And at the time they're saying, yeah, last year it sucks. No one wants to be cut. And a lot of these guys the last time they've been cut is they can't remember,
man,
right?
Yeah.
So it sucks to be cut, but they all said, I got next year as a 19-year-old, right? And then the pressure that brings as a 19-year-old, you go, this is my one and only chance. Like a lot of these guys are like your Daniel Tkachuks, who you're never going to play Team Canada again, right?
Go Fada.
This is Angelo Esposito.
Yeah.
These are the kinds of guys who, yeah, you're a big fish at the junior age.
Yeah.
But you're likely to never play Team Canada again.
Right.
So guys like Kevin Ball, I can only imagine this is your
likely to be your
crack at it. He may turn out to be a serviceable NHL player.
Oh, but
that
sure.
doesn't mean you're playing in the Olympics for Canada.
Right. No, it's true. I think it's an interesting looking team. More cuts to come. There, like I said, is still the slim thought that maybe you're getting Noah Dobson. But in terms of help from the NHL, you've seen what you're getting. You're getting Barrett Hayden out of Arizona, which no one expected. You're not getting Kirby Dach out of Chicago, which was kind of up in the air. Like I said, Christmas Eve, our annual World Junior show. Rob wants to talk about heartbreak on that show, so we may hit on some
of
that.
We've all endured heartbreak.
We are on Twitter and Instagram at TallCanAudio, Facebook.com/TallCanAudio, and I guess we'll get out of here on that. We'll catch you all on the next one.
See ya!
We're not going to be fucking sunk this year! Yeah!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at TallCanAudio.com or by searching TallCanAudio on your favorite podcast app.